This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Diddy, what? Is Sean Combs actually saying the freak-off tapes prove his innocence? Is it true? Allegations now surfacing that he, Sean Combs, actually used a TV remote in a sex attack on a victim. This as Sean Combs, aka Diddy, is calling prosecutors sexist. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
A bombshell Peacock documentary reveals shocking claims from Diddy's inside circle. Childhood friends tell all.
Amid claims by Sean Combs that the freak-off tapes surreptitiously taken, showing him directing for days full-on orgies where the victims say they woke up afterwards in pain, he's actually saying that the sex tapes, now in the hands of the state, will prove he's innocent? Okay. At the same time, a bombshell documentary dropping on Peacock. Listen.
When I got home from the military, and Sean and I hadn't seen each other in a while, and, you know, I'm like, what's up, Sean? He said, yeah, they call me Puff now. They call me Puff. I was being looked at as a punk. I was being looked at as a pushover. I was being looked at as a sissy, as a wimp, as a goofy. I ain't even trying to know that person again. And I'm a Puff Daddy now.
Okay, is that the origin of Sean Combs turning into Puff Daddy? I ain't even trying to know that person again. I was a sissy, a wimp, goofy. No more. That's where our friends at Peacock, Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy, their new documentary that just dropped. You know, the state is salivating. They've got their forks and their steak knives to cut into this documentary, hoping for new witnesses to emerge. Straight out to Rob Shooter joining us, host Naughty But Nice podcast, former publicist for Sean Combs and author of The Four-Word Answer. Rob Shooter, after seeing the Peacock documentary, it makes me wonder, is that where Sean Combs adopted his tough guy attitude from being a sissy in his mind to bullying and allegedly raping victims later in life?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I watched the documentary. This was the origin. Puffy was not Puffy once. He was Sean Combs, and he carefully created this image for himself. He hired people like me to create this image, to present himself as a king, present himself as a man in power. But actually, his beginnings were a lot more humble. We are finding that out from the documentary. But he was not born Puffy. He was born Sean.
Okay, let me ask you something. You just said Rob Shooter, as a personal publicist, PR guru to Sean Combs, that you were to create a certain image for Sean Combs, and that is as a tough guy. How do you do that?
Yeah, you surround him by people that make him look tough. You surround him at photo shoots where he literally sits on a throne. I remember once when I got Puffy into People's Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive issue, he controlled that photo shoot. He told me how he wanted to be shot, what he was going to wear. He wanted to be sitting on a throne. He literally, in some shoots, wore a crown. So all this is very, very carefully curated. None of this just happened, and he was the power behind it all.
Okay, Rob Shooter, see, you throw bombs at me, and when the grenade goes off, you expect me not to respond. Shooter, how did he want to be dressed to look like a tough guy in People magazine? I can't wait to hear this.
There are fur coats involved. There's diamond rings involved. There's guns involved. There's the way that he talks, which I have to say too, he speaks to the press in a very different manner than when you're alone with Puffy. I've flown on private planes with him. I've been in cars with him. I've been in his home with him. He's quite a soft-spoken gentleman when he's not putting on the Puffy show. And so for me, this is no surprise, but this whole Puffy myth It's an illusion. It's something that was made up.
Yeah, well, you know what? You call it a myth. That's not what federal prosecutors call it. They call it dozens of sex trafficking felonies. So I don't know where you're going, Shooter, but having watched the Peacock's Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy that just dropped, I know the state is pouring over it for potential evidence. Listen.
There ain't a Diddy party that didn't turn into a freak off. One of the first times I really started getting close with this guy, he gave us a bad boy gig. He told me that if he blood me, blood out. Blood out. I mean, he's dead. When we're in that situation, you kind of feel forced and dying.
From our friends at Peacock, Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy, and you can hear how the guest in that documentary is insisting that his voice be altered because he is afraid of Sean Combs, even though Sean Combs is currently behind bars. What more revelations are revealed in Peacock's new documentary as Sean Combs heads to trial and demands that the freak-off tapes that he directed be released to the public? He claims they prove him innocent, that all of these women went along with it consensually and enjoyed it. Yeah, their words, not mine. Enjoyed it. Okay, I don't know. Wendy Patrick, high-profile prosecutor out of California, founder of Black Swan Verdicts, author of Why Bad Looks Good, it goes on and on. I'm not sure how women that were drugged and have no recollection of these so-called freak-off parties consented to that when they wake up the next morning with their vagina and anus hurting and bleeding. But that's what the defense is claiming, that all of this was consensual. How can that be? Many of these women are suing him for sex attack.
It can't be, is the short answer. But the way that will be developed will be in a court of law. In the court of public opinion, the defense is saying anything and everything to corroborate their case that there's consenting adults. Nobody was underage. The women were enjoying it. But remember, that is all subject to the kind of cross-examination that would really just destroy a story like this. We're hearing a little bit of it already through the civil cases that have been filed. We'll hear a lot more of it as the criminal case begins to develop. And whatever
Wendy,
the court of public
Wendy,
opinion
Wendy,
has to
Wendy,
say.
Wendy, second verse, same as the first. I don't believe I've ever had a rape case, whether I investigated it, prosecuted it, or covered it, where at some point the defendant didn't say she wanted it.
Yeah.
That's so tired. But that's what they're doing.
Well, they have to do that here because what are the alternatives? I mean, these are things that the defendant himself has talked about, has publicized, has really used to build his brand. When you look at somebody that has risen to fame through exactly these types of parties and who is feared and revered, that's part of the problem. And that's all they have right now, Nancy.
Peacock just dropping a documentary called Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy. What will it reveal? Listen.
Within months of working with Sean Combs, he started sending me on these missions to do things that were way outside. You know, would pull up to the club around my house. They got karaoke night. Here, put on your bad boy gear and go recruit some girls, bring them back to the house. I didn't know what the real intention is.
Now, what you're hearing is a witness, and it's also a guest in the Peacock documentary. He was having his voice distorted out of fear of Sean Combs. And what he is saying right there, Combs sent him up to a club. They pulled up on karaoke night, specifically time for it to be karaoke night. And Combs tells him, yeah, put on the bad boy gear, bad boy studio gear, and go recruit some girls and bring them back to the house. Okay, this guy's saying, I don't know what the real intention is. I think we know what the real intention is. To Alex West joining us, entertainment reporter with The Mirror. Alex, thank you for being with us. This documentary that just dropped is not good news for Sean Combs. The state's parsing it apart. with a silver knife and fork right now, looking for witnesses and evidence like this guy that comes was sent out to karaoke night to bring back women to drug them and then have them in freak-offs.
Yeah, the documentary is quite explosive. You have anything from Kim Porter being discussed. They bring in I'll Be Sure, which is Quincy Brown's father, which is the son that Diddy kind of adopted. You have all these new voices coming in who weren't speaking before. So it's definitely not great news for Diddy in this this narrative that he's been running with.
So Alex West, what other revelations come out of the documentary?
Yeah, we have Kim Porter's, which is Diddy's ex, who is now deceased. Her diary is being looked at in this documentary. And, you know, she says in there that she's considering blowing the lid off of the rapper's secrets. So that's very telling. She spent a lot of time with him, obviously. And that's in that documentary, which is someone very close to Diddy talking about his secrets that he has. And now those secrets could potentially be coming out as allegations.
Again, this documentary is so explosive that some of the guests on the documentary, which I predict are going to end up being state's witnesses, want their voices altered. Listen.
So we're recording. Explain why you want your voice altered.
I don't want to be on camera because Sean Combs, for over 3 decades, allegedly he's had people hurt. So, to protect my life, my friends, my family, anybody that's attached to me, I've chosen to remain anonymous.
From Peacock's Diddy, Making of a Bad Boy.
Notorious rapper and music mogul Sean Combs' lawyers make shocking claims amidst unending waves of sex assault lawsuits. Alleged victims enjoyed themselves.
Joining us, an all-star panel to make sense of what we are hearing, believe it or not, Sean Combs' lawyers want the tapes, the freak-off tapes, made public, claiming that they show all the activity, which is called rape and sodomy by the state, was all consensual. Now, when you don't know a horse, look at his track record. Remember that video, the hotel video of Cassie Ventura being chased down the hall of a public hotel, then kicked and beaten by Sean Combs wearing nothing but a towel? He didn't care. Then dragging her back to the hotel room? Yeah, he claims all of that activity is consensual. Okay, like that. Yeah, he picks her up and drags her, drags her by her clothes and her hair back to the hotel room. She says she was trying to escape a freak off. She didn't want to be raped and sodomized anymore, much less on camera. This video is from our friends at CNN. There he goes stomping off down the hall. And wait for it. Not done yet. Yeah. I'm glad that's not a close-up. Ow! Throwing about $1,000 vase to the wall. Now, I want you to hear the defense attorney claiming that the freak-off videos show everything was consensual. The women wanted it. Listen.
Attorney Mark Agnifilo is demanding that prosecutors hand over multiple videos of Sean Combs' infamous freak-offs, claiming the tapes prove his innocence. Prosecutors have described the tapes as elaborate and produced sex performances, but Agnifilo claims they depict private sexual activity between Combs and Cassie Ventura, who he says, quote, not only consented, but thoroughly enjoyed herself.
So I guess, Rob Shooter, Sean Combs no longer has a PR team because no PR guru in their right mind would want the freak-off tapes to go public.
Yeah, it's craziness. This strategy is absolutely ludicrous. But I think a former guest said this. He has nothing else, Nancy. He's going to spend the rest of his life in jail as more and more evidence comes forward. We know that. He might not know it or believe it yet. But this is outrageous stuff. And so he is trying to throw whatever he has, whatever he can, into the mix. And this appears to be it, this old story that people enjoyed him, that they were begging for him to to abuse them. It's not going to work. It's a terrible strategy. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. The people around him now are not pushing back or are not making good choices.
Okay, I hear Rob Schuder talking about good choices. You know what? You really, really went down the rabbit hole on that. I'm asking you, this is a PR nightmare. Why would they want these tapes public? Or are they just BSing, knowing the tapes will never be made public?
They're doing what the king wants. Puffy is in charge. He doesn't take advice from other people. He thinks he's a genius. And arguably, he's done pretty well so far. He's got away with a lot, including making $1 billion. And so this is going to be perfect.
Schuder, have you lost your mind? He's sitting over at MDC, Metropolitan Detention Center. What do you mean, look at him now? I'm looking at him now. And so far, his PR strategy has backfired.
Now it has, Nancy, but this is relatively recent. Diddy has been getting away with this for decades. For decades, we've heard rumors about Puffy. And now it's happening. What happened for the last 30 years? Why did nobody speak out then? And so I'm glad that it's happening now, Nancy. But let's be honest here. He certainly has got away with this for a very, very long time. I think it ends today. I think it ends.
Well, you know what, Rob Schuder? I stand corrected. You're right. He's gotten away with it for decades. Now, if I look at cases I've investigated, prosecuted, and covered, very often the cover-up lends a nefarious taint to what could be considered innocent. Take a listen to this regarding the consensual freak-offs.
Philip Pines, a former personal lackey for Sean Combs, claims in a lawsuit that he was tasked with setting up for wild king nights at hotels, which involved bringing red lights, ice buckets, alcohol, marijuana joints, honey packs for male libido, baby oil, Astroglide, towels, illegal drugs, and powered sex toys to Combs' room for sometimes days-long escapades. Pines says he was expected to be on call for any additional needs during the exploits, and Combs even pressured him to join. Afterwards, Pines was charged with cleaning up the mess, deleting any incriminating photos or video from Combs' devices, and leaving hotel staff large tips to avoid paying extra bills for damages.
You know, Bill Daly joining me, former FBI investigator. Bill, when I check out of a hotel, I don't bring in a professional cleaning crew to get rid of evidence. Do you? So if it's not nefarious, if there's not something wrong with it, why do you have to clean it all up and get rid of it so nobody sees it?
Yeah, well exactly, Nancy. And also, you know, it's these type of witnesses, and I believe that both were probably seen on videos from his homes and maybe surveillance video, not just even the videos of the sexual escapades, but also just who was in around his orbit. Plus these people now speaking out in this new special that's come out. These are all the people who are going to be providing some compelling testimony around all these aspects. So if they think that the videos themselves will tell a different story, it's going to be these witnesses. It's going to be these people who are materially there, who were asked to do things, who did things for him, that will pull together this whole sordid story and perhaps be the compelling elements of this trial.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Bill. If I was arguing to that jury, I would ask them, do you have to bring in a hench person to clean your hotel room and pay off the staff to basically sanitize everything so no illegal activity can be proven? And I bet they all will say, no. But right now, the defense for Sean Combs, very unwisely in my mind, maybe this is just a PR stunt and Schuder can address that. They are demanding the release and the publication of the freak-off tapes. Maybe they know it will never happen so they can appear as if they want it to happen, claiming they show Combs' innocence. This as a bombshell documentary drops on Peacock, The Making of a Bad Boy. But listen to the defense. Listen.
The videos have reportedly been kept under wraps to protect Ventura's privacy, with Combs' legal team only allowed to view them under law enforcement supervision. Agnifilo argues that the video's existence directly refutes claims that Combs kept the recordings as collateral because they were not recovered from Combs' devices, but from Ventura herself. Agnifilo demands better access, claiming his team intends to create trial exhibits from the videos to prove there is not a hint of violence or coercion in the activities.
Really? Okay. Karen Stark joining me, renowned psychologist joining us out of Manhattan, TV radio trauma expert. Karen, if all of this was consensual, you know, the 1,000 bottles of baby oil, the videos that were then surreptitiously kept, nobody could see them. If all of that showed nothing but consensual sex activity, then why has a state brought multiple sex trafficking charges, and why are many of these women suing him for rape? And Karen, just another question. This is called a compound question under the law, which is inadmissible in court. But we're not in court, are we, Karen? How many times do you have to hear another man charged with rape say, it was consensual. As a matter of fact, she wanted it. She enjoyed it.
It happens all the time. I mean, isn't that a really tired defense? And what I feel about this defense team is that they must be desperate if they're digging for something like this. I mean, there's so much proof that they were not enjoying. They were drugged. How can you say that these drugged people were enjoying it? And people are suing him for abuse. You see the tape with Ventura, where he's obviously beating her. Then they're saying that she enjoyed it? Really, she was trying to escape, but she enjoyed it? It's a sham, Nancy. I really don't understand what that's about.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Cassandra Cassie Ventura claims in addition to physical abuse occurring throughout their decade-long on-and-off relationship, Combs coerced her to participate in what he called freak-offs, which involved Ventura having sex with male sex workers while Combs watched, masturbated, and took videos of the encounter. Combs settled Ventura's lawsuit just a day after it was filed. The remaining four complaints are still unresolved.
As we go to air, a Bombshell documentary is dropped by Peacock called Diddy, the Making of a Bad Boy. Will any of these guests turn witnesses? Listen.
I've been with Sean for quite a while, and I've captured a lot of moments.
It's been taking me ever to get back to my exact tone of not giving a.
There's so much I do know. I've seen this guy to be very, very violent.
You got me acting crazy.
He's just been getting away with it for way far too long.
Got to show y'all how we have fun and stay out of jail, too. This ain't money.
Have fun and stay out of jail. Well, that didn't work out. That's from our friends at Peacock. It's Diddy, the Making of a Bad Boy. Straight out to Alex West joining us, entertainment reporter with The Mirror. You stated that there are allegations that emerge from the documentary that Kim Porter did not die of natural causes.
Yeah, so I'll be sure shared his theory and his belief that Diddy was dangerous at the time. He says that Kim was actually trying to save him, meaning Al Boucher, and that she was warning him about Diddy's potential danger, saying that he would get killed if he didn't distance himself from the situation. So Al Boucher thinks that she was also in danger herself, although I will say authorities have denied this. But that's Al Boucher's perspective. That's his opinion. That's his speculation.
Well, the reality is Kim Porter's dead. She can't testify to what really happened. Listen.
Al Boucher, who remained close to Porter until her death in 2018, insists that Porter did keep a diary and states as fact that she was murdered before she could blow the lid off Diddy's secrets. Brown even claims that Combs tried to kill him too. Brown blames his 2022 long-term hospitalization and near death on foul play, claiming he has a record of those involved in his attempted murder.
Claims that Kim Porter, the mother of Sean Combs' children, did not die of natural causes. Well, again, if you don't know a horse, look at his track record. Listen.
Deal, who goes on to serve as Combs' bodyguard for years, confirms that there was frequent drug use at Diddy parties, and he often had a feeling Combs was roughing up Kim Porter. Deal claims he was once called to a hospital as Porter's emergency contact and found her bruised and shaken. Porter refused to discuss what happened. One of Deal's most explosive claims? That Combs could have been involved in Biggie's death after learning his biggest star planned to leave Bad Boy.
Joining us, Rob Shooter, host of Naughty But Nice podcast, and for my purposes, PR advisor to Sean Combs. Now, we're talking about these revelations from Shure. And wasn't he married to Kim Porter?
Yeah, there's a lot of just chaos around Diddy. And may I speculate, Nancy, that what's going on at the moment might just be the tip of the iceberg. And Diddy seems to be the centerpiece of this puzzle. So I would not be at all surprised if over the next few months, more and more evidence comes out. Kim Porter died of very mysterious circumstances. And I would not be surprised if that investigation isn't reopened. There's a lot of ugly, messy, dangerous behavior around Sean Combs.
Well, when you say Kim Porter died under mysterious circumstances, what do you mean by that? She was very young and healthy, yeah. Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was in her 40s and she had pneumonia and died. And when this happened, her friends, I spoke to several of them, were just shocked about this. This was a very wealthy, very well-connected person. She was the girlfriend of Diddy. She had his children. If there was anything that was wrong with her, she would have had the best medical attention in the world. So what happened? Maybe she did die of pneumonia. I'm just saying that I think there's more to this. It was a very young age. It was very, very shocking. And her friends have speculated for quite a while what actually did happen.
You know, I'm curious, Alex West. A lot of this is emerging from the Peacock documentary, but the state can't ignore it. Just like Sean Combs' case cracked wide open after Cassie Ventura, or someone in her camp, released the video of Sean Combs beating her in a public hallway. So arrogant, I guess he didn't think anybody would notice or care. And they didn't for a long time. Reportedly, hotel staff bribed, paid off, not to say anything. Once that video got released, the feds' nose was rubbed in it. And then this indictment occurred. Now, this documentary is suggesting that Kim Porter did not die of natural causes. What do you make of that? Do you believe an investigation will be sparked because of this about Kim Porter's death?
So while the topic has been tiptoed around so far, I will say this is not the first time Kim Porter has been mentioned in the series of lawsuits. She was mentioned in a civil lawsuit at 1.2 where a individual claimed that she was forced to have intimate relations with Kim and that there were drugs involved. That was the first real mention of her in these lawsuits. And now you have this other topic coming out. You have this belief that Diddy might have killed her, been involved with her death. And so there is a chance that the prosecutors look into that. It's just difficult because authorities have already ruled that there was no foul play. But it's potentially something they could look into in the future.
Well, I think that there's more of a probability that her death will be reopened. Wendy Patrick joining me, veteran prosecutor. Wendy, there have been many times that a victim was deemed to have died of natural causes. I can think of a lot of them. In fact, I remember one defendant, Lynn Turner, and I investigated her case before I covered it. She had a boyfriend and a husband keel over from heart attacks. Wow, that's a coincidence, right? Turned out that she fed them poison jello shots and then wore a miniskirt to trial. That didn't help anything. But their deaths were deemed to be heart-related. They weren't. Wendy Patrick, witnesses have been knocked off since time immemorial.
That's right. And you know the way we solve those crimes, Nancy, is not through the witnesses themselves that live to tell the tale, because they are so intimidated, it's hard to get them to come forward. We all know that we normally find out about these from the family members of the witnesses, from the family members of the victims, the friends, the coworkers, the concerned bystanders and citizens that saw something that made them uncomfortable and they felt they should report it. Why wouldn't that be the same case here? That's, in fact, is why we know as much as we do about, and you said it yourself, you said someone in her camp released that tape. It is never the victims themselves. They're afraid. We know that the documentary victims and witnesses have even asked for their voices and their likenesses to be modified so they don't get the victim of retaliation. But this will come to light through good investigation around the periphery to find people that knew more and are willing to step up and cooperate with investigators.
The new documentary sparking speculation, Kim Porter was silenced before she could reveal secrets about Sean Combs. Karen Stark, recently released was a book essentially made out of Kim Porter's alleged diary. I read the whole thing. In many instances, it seemed like there was a level of detail suggesting it was true. Now, family members insist Kim Porter's book was not her diary. Then who would have known all of those details? Do you often have clients that keep diaries that you end up relying on?
Nancy, I actually not only have the clients that keep them, but I suggest that people keep a journal. It's a really good way to empty your mind before you go to sleep at night, to think about the things that you're doing in your life. I have no doubt that if they're saying she kept them and people saw them. And that is very frightening for him, I'm sure, because she might have been really about to expose him. This guy, let's face it, he's sadistic, he's abusive and narcissistic. So he thinks he can get away with anything.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. As a bombshell documentary drops about Sean Combs, his defense team is arguing Freak-Off tapes really prove his innocence and that prosecutors are all sexist. We'll see about that. In the middle of that debacle, a victim comes forward claiming that Sean Combs, in view of others, raped her with a TV remote. Listen.
An alleged victim of Sean Combs speaks publicly about the gang rape detailed in her lawsuit for the first time. Ashley Parham, who claims Combs and three other men assaulted and raped her in the presence of Combs Enterprises Chief of Staff Christina Corum, describes Combs putting a knife in her mouth and threatening to give her a Glasgow smile. Parham claims it was Corum who told Combs to stop, asking him to refrain from damaging the merchandise. Parham shakily recounts Combs removing her clothing, squirting her with lubricant, then using a TV remote to rape her.
Straight out to Wendy Patrick, veteran prosecutor and author, joining us. She is the star of Today with Dr. Wendy, KCBQ. Wendy, what is a Glasgow smile?
It's unfortunately something you see in the movies where you get a real cut on both sides to make it look like a smile. It's one of the things you normally hear about happening in custody or happening in mayhem cases. You don't often hear it happening during, quote, consensual sex. And this is part of the sort of the corroboration that's being provided by these past incidents, unwittingly, no doubt, by those that have been at these parties and are
right,
trying to make these things public. But it gets to be very, very disturbing.
Well, a Glasgow smile is like this, Wendy. It's when an attacker takes a knife and cuts the victim's mouth from the corners of the mouth upward toward the ears, like the Joker, and they are forever left with a disfigured smile on their face. Now, interesting to Bill Daley, former FBI investigator. Bill, when a witness has a high degree of detail in a statement, it makes them more believable, right? This witness states that Combs threatened giving her a Glasgow smile before assaulting her with a TV remote. That's a level of detail that I wouldn't expect for someone to just fabricate, just pull out of the air.
Yeah, you know, Nancy, and you and I both know, is that certainly more detail provides some kind of essence behind kind of validity of what somebody might be saying. However, on the other hand, too much detail, which can't be corroborated, or perhaps can be dismissed because of somebody's recollection or remembering who was there and they weren't there, they can actually be put in some other location at the time, does provide some damage to those statements. So it is that kind of balance between, yes, believability with regard to the amount of detail, but also not too much detail for some of these witnesses where perhaps it will be otherwise refuted by other people and whereabouts.
Daley, how could, I guess it's possible, but is it probable that a female victim would make up, fabricate that she was raped with a TV remote and threatened with a Glasgow smile?
Yeah, those type of details are ones that you feel are very visceral, very reactive, and not ones that you would imagine, you know, that would suggest that somebody was fabricating them.
And then Alex West joining me, investigative reporter with The Mirror. Then there is a whole, let me just say, toxic brew boiling with Jay-Z and Kanye. First to Kanye. Reports surfacing in headlines that Kanye is hiding out in Tokyo to avoid coming back to the U.S. while Combs's case proceeds. What's that all about?
So Kanye has reportedly been away from his family, specifically his kids, for, I believe, over 100 days now. He's been spending a lot of time out in Tokyo. He's been seen by individuals out there. And he does have involvement with these Diddy cases. He's allegedly a part of these. He's named in these cases. And I've seen documents. I mean, he has other cases outside of the Diddy allegations on top of it. And I've seen documents of individuals suing him saying, hey, we can't reach him. We're having trouble reaching him. So now some are reporting the reason.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Alex West, I guarantee you there's one person that wants him to stay in Tokyo, and that would be Kim Kardashian. That said, we've got the Kanye West case. Wait, Kanye West allegations brewing. All of these people are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But then we've got Jay-Z. Listen.
Another shocking revelation in the scandalous Sean Diddy Combs case, now officially including Jay-Z. In a civil lawsuit, Sean Diddy Combs and Jay-Z stand accused of raping a 13-year-old girl at an afterparty for the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards. The 13-year-old at the time says she had been trying to get into the VMAs by standing outside of Radio City Music Hall and walking up to limousines that were bringing guests into the venue. It works, as she is invited to an afterparty by a limo driver who claims to work for Combs. He tells her she fit what Diddy was looking for.
Jane Doe is handed a non-disclosure agreement to sign and a drink she believes is spiked. In minutes, she hears Diddy utter words she can still hear to this day. The plaintiff claims Combs approaches her with a crazed look in his eyes, telling her, you are ready to party.
Alex West, The Mirror, explain to me how Jay-Z has been roped into this.
Yeah, so Jay-Z has specifically been named in this lawsuit. He was always known to be a close friend of Diddy. Of course, now he's saying that he wasn't involved in this incident. He's also saying it didn't happen at all. He takes issue with the location, the time frame. He takes issue with the lawyer who's on the other side of this case, Tony Busby. And he even looks to other specific details that this alleged victim is bringing out and saying that didn't happen.
Combs allegedly planned and controlled the sex performances, which he called freak-offs. And he often electronically recorded them. The freak-offs sometimes lasted days at a time, involved multiple commercial sex workers, and often involved a variety of narcotics, such as ketamine, ecstasy, and GHB, which Combs distributed to the victims to keep them obedient and compliant. As alleged, when Combs didn't get his way, he was violent, and he subjected victims to physical, emotional, and verbal abuse so that they would participate in the freak-offs.
Dozens of sex trafficking charges leveled against Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy. And Diddy said, what? Now claiming that videos of those so-called freak-offs actually exonerate him. Somehow Jay-Z has gotten roped into this. Is he part of it or not? In the midst of all that, a bombshell documentary drops. Listen.
I am a civil litigator who has filed several cases against Sean Combs for sexual assault in civil court. I have been sounding the alarm about Mr. Combs for years. He is a man who has done awful things to hundreds, maybe thousands of people.
I'm wilder, I'm crazier.
I want to speak about this now because I witnessed everything.
I haven't said anything for so long, and it's built up, it's been 20 years.
I don't trust anyone. Because I'm afraid that they might come get me for speaking.
That from our friends at Peacock. It's called Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy. So Jay-Z and now maybe even Kanye roped into this whole thing. How Kanye fits into this, I don't know. I don't know any connection. other than he's spotted at some of Sean Combs' parties. That's not enough to bring a case. But what about Jay-Z? What is the latest regarding Jay-Z, Alex?
So the story and the allegation is that a young woman was at the VMAs, was picked up for an after party, was taken to a house and sexually assaulted. That's her allegation. The latest is that, of course, Jay-Z is denying this. And on top of it, his attorneys are looking for every single hole they can pick out of the story. So they're looking at the location. They're looking at the time frame about whether or not the law is applicable. They're looking at the celebrity guests that the girl supposedly and claimed she saw at the event and saying, they weren't there that year, claiming that they aren't there this year. And even looking at Diddy and looking at whether or not his story is part of this, saying Diddy was at the club with J-Lo. So they're looking at every individual thing and making filings and really trying to get this case to be sorted, done with before it even makes a trial.
The last thing Jay-Z needs is to be part of one of these freak-offs. His lawyer is vehemently denying these claims. Listen.
Jay-Z's lawyer, Alex Spiro, has pointed out that Combs does not and has never owned a home like the one the victim described, especially not within a 20-minute drive from Radio City Music Hall. Spiro also hunted down Good Charlotte guitarist Benji Madden's whereabouts that night. While the Jane Doe claims to have spoken with Madden at the party, records show the band was on tour in the Midwest that night. Spiro also questions how a child ends up alone with the three most famous people in attendance, and why a female celebrity would stand by as a child is repeatedly raped.
If you know or think you know anything about the claims brought against Sean Combs, here's a tip line. 1-800-200-7474. Repeat. 800-200-7474. Yes, Diddy has his own 800 number for victims to call. But right now, we stop and remember an American hero, Corporal Christine Peters, Greenbelt PD, Maryland, killed in the line of duty, served 22 years with Greenbelt PD, and survived by husband, now widower, daughter, and son. American hero, Corporal Christine Peters.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.